This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you in association with Giovanni's. A full house again for us here. Paolo Bandonato joins myself and Nathan Blake for the podcast.
With a new haircut, by the way.
Yep, it's Paul's turn for a new haircut. Paul's turn to look 10
years younger. Paul's younger brother.
We're going to discuss, obviously, the latest defeat for Cardiff City and the rather sticky situation they find themselves in after the 2-0 defeat to Wolves. Blakey, I think you called this one, actually, I have to say.
I did, Dominic, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Gives me no pleasure in saying it's probably the first time in a while, not because I got it right, but it's probably the first time in a while that, you know, I've looked at the whole scenario and come up with that conclusion, yeah.
What was it then? Obviously, those two early goals killed the game, really, for Cardiff. Bamba's making a huge mistake for the second and then going off injured. Where did you see it go wrong, really? I mean, I think after the two goals, Cardiff did okay, but it could have been probably more goals for Wolves with effort, just saying.
The first goal was Jota.
It was a good goal, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good team move.
It was a great team goal, but from a defensive standpoint.
Sorry, can we bring in Paul? He's made a terribly loud sniffing noise
okay.
at that point.
Yeah, please, Paul.
If words define me that you're saying that's a good goal. That was a cataclysmic goal for Cardiff concede. The defenders are being pulled all over the place, out of position where they shouldn't be, and the bloke's got a free shot from.
It's not like Wolf stood still for 10 yards. Just walked through.
No, it was Cardiff's players were being drawn into the wrong.
Wait there, just so I'm right. Jota's is the 1-2 goal.
The first
yeah?
one, little 1-2. The
1-2-1-2. Right, so. From Wolves' perspective, it was a fantastic goal. From Cardiff's perspective, it was a terrible goal because Jota actually, he comes short, lays it off, and then makes a run in behind both Morrison and Bamba, and both of them, he does two players with like...
Morrison was goes, 15 yards out of position, playing.
Yeah,
he
but
was drawn into a position he should never have been in.
Well, he comes short, doesn't he, in the original. Instant, he comes short
and
to come with Jota.
Isn't quick enough to recover,
right?
So
he isn't quick enough to turn.
Position.
No, he's right to go in there, but what you do is like just block him off or something like
or
that.
Or somebody covers.
But then as he's spun off, Bamba's there ready to pick him up. And actually, what does Bamba? Bamba's thinking he's going to get done with the first 1-2, but the ball doesn't go. It gets laid off, and then there's a little flip by Gibbs White, I think it is, and then it gets played into Jota. So it's like a third man running. It's like a 1-2 becomes a third man running situation. But I agree with you, mate. I agree with you 100%. I thought the defending was really poor for the goal.
Well,
but from an attack point of view, that's quality football.
Well,
you do not give any player in any game that much space inside the penalty box 8 minutes into a game.
Was that was a product of the movement, though. That it wasn't just that Cardiff gave that space. And I think if Kenneth Zahor had scored that goal for Cardiff City, we'd be sat here saying that was... the goal of the season, one of the best goals we've ever seen Cardiff score. Which sort of proves Blakey's point, I guess. I mean, the second goal, Blakey, just a dreadful error from Bamba, wasn't it? I mean, what was he doing?
He's trying to... I mean, we spoke about it last week, Dom, last line of defence, right? And I think what Sol's trying to do is nick it around the defender or the attacker and go the other side. You just don't do it. Given his time again, he would just clear his lines. But... you know, he's been punished to the max, you know, because, you know, defenders in that situation shouldn't be looking to, you know, play past defenders. They do it, and sometimes they do it successfully. But when you get caught out, it's highlighted so bad, it looks so bad. But, Yeah, it's just one of those situations where totally avoidable.
Again, though, there was an opportunity just before that to clear that ball at source and never have it land at the situation where it was. So I think some more basic defending could have stopped that goal in the first place anyway.
Well, they just pulled us apart with their movement as well. And we've said it so many times on the Boot Room show. I don't understand why we never... Right, the rotation, it just kills. The movement kills. And I don't understand why, in this day and age, you can't be working on a system that stops you being dragged left, right and centre. Sometimes I've seen like centre-halves being pulled like 20, 30 yards forward, you know, and you've got a holding midfielder. It doesn't make sense. Or two holding midfielders, if you count Riles as well. Doesn't make sense. All you do is pass on.
That's Goodison was actually left playing centre back. He was so deep chasing his runner.
That's what movement does for you, Dom.
It was bizarre.
But just think yourself, if Bamba stays in his position and Goodison stays in his position and they communicate, the two players they're marking, they just switch.
It's like five a side they're playing. They just switch. Track your runner the whole time.
It's like, you know, under 10 stuff. When you all run over the all over the pitch chasing the ball, it should be. And there's this argument now, you can't do it because of the stage of the season we're in. It doesn't matter. If that's what's causing you your main problem, fix it.
Yeah.
It is my belief, rightly or wrongly.
Paul's on the warpath today, isn't he?
No, it is my belief, rightly or wrongly, that neither of those goals would have been conceded early against Wolves had Bruno Manga started the game as he should have done.
Well, Bruno Manga came on and I thought was... probably Cardiff's best player. I thought he came on.
He came on after they were. I thought he's been really unfortunate.
I think it's really unfortunate that he was dropped after the Everton game because he's outside of Etheridge. He's been player of the year for me.
Yeah,
so, he made a bit of a mistake against Everton, but
at the time when you know you're already down and out. Really, he's just trying to carry the ball out of defence. So I just thought. That's being chucked under the bus a bit as well. It's been almost like, oh, it's your fault. And, you know, when you get beaten 5-1, that's a collective. You know, people can make individual errors, but that's a collective. You almost give them an opportunity to rectify themselves. By saying, like, drop you and you, it's like, okay, it's almost kind of like point the finger. As a player, that's how you think. On the outside, as a fan, you might think, oh, we're just making changes. But from the inside, as a player... when you've been battered 5-1, you start to say to yourself, well, you know, it wasn't just my fault. It's our fault. We were rubbish.
Well, I'm glad you said that. It taps into a debate that's been had among Cardiff fans since the game and since Sean Morrison's return, with a lot of the fingers from the outside pointing at Morrison.
Mm.
I would say the decision to put Morrison in the half defence and either drop Manga, as he did against Wolves, or put him at right back, as he did against Everton... that's been a damaging decision for me. Maybe you can't just blame Morrison solely, but it's Morrison's return that seems to have unsettled things at the back of Cardiff.
Well, you could say, is it a consequence that Sean has come in and they've gone from winning a couple of games back-to-back to then three heavy defeats? Is that coincidence? Or is it, you know, part and parcel? I would say I wouldn't have changed the team anyway. You've been trying to create all season where you win away from home. You've done it earlier on in the season once, but you've gone and done back-to-back, basically.
Big wins. And a great performance at Arsenal as well, actually. Don't
start getting carried away with yourself thinking, oh, we've arrived. You know, you've done something that's huge in the Premier League. You know, teams always say if we can get three wins in a spin, you know, it's massive. So you've done something huge. You've gone back-to-back wins. But all season, last season also, Neil constantly changed. But I think this change hasn't helped the situation. I don't think I can point the finger. I would never point the finger at Sean. I'd be contradicting myself and say it's his fault. It's a collective fault.
Mm.
But the decision to remove Manga out of the central defence, for me, he should have been in central defence all season. And that's just... my opinion. I don't do sentiment, as you know, Dom, when it comes to these things. So, captain, I don't care if you're captain fantastic. You don't get back into that central centre half position, unless we're going to a three. And if we go to a three and it's as disastrous as it was against Watford, then I'm going back to a two. And sorry, you're going to have to sit down. I'm going back to the partnership and won me back to back games. It's as simple as that.
But it puzzled me that at Wolves he went to a four at the back, a central central defensive two, and it was Manga that sat out and not Morrison. I mean, that's so harsh on Manga, I think. He's been playing.
It will, for me, you know, I'm not chucking my toys out of the pram or anything like that, but that's the kind of decision making that gets players saying, I want out. Right?
Wow.
Because what you've done is you've left me hanging, basically. Right? Because we've been battered against Everton. We've tried the back three thing. It didn't work. And then Sean comes back. I'm with Everidge probably player of the year.
Yeah.
And Sean comes back. And I'm not moved. I'm benched. So basically, you're kind of throwing me under a bus a bit there. Do you know what I mean?
Without saying it,
you're highlighting it. You know, don't get me wrong. I've played with managers who've done it. You know what I mean? I remember Wolves, Dave Jones done it to Paul Butler. And, you know, as a team, we turned on Dave Jones. We told him, you're bang out of order. You can't do that. And he said he was doing him a favour. And like one of the boys, Studger, said, listen, Gaffer, don't ever do me any favours like that because I don't want that kind of favour. You've singled out our captain and killed him to a degree, right? Now, all that happens is the fans look and they get on Butts' case because they think he's the problem. Mm. Well, the difference is here, most of the fans are going, well, Bruno's not the problem, which is now giving Neil a problem, right? Because everyone's kind of scratching their heads going, I don't understand that decision.
Well, it's not
so
a problem
only
anymore.
The manager can give you the rhyme or reason
like
why he done it.
One key decision has almost created a domino effect.
Absolutely.
It's had that effect on those defeats, but it's not now a problem for Warnock because of Sol Bamba's injury, Paul.
It is a problem.
Well, it's not a selection dilemma then, put it that way.
Sol
Bamba's injury in itself is a huge problem.
It is a problem because the biggest thing Cardiff have had going for them all season is this special togetherness. That's the team spirit in the dressing room. And most importantly, this incredible empathy with the fans, yeah? And it's almost like it created a force. We know some of these Cardiff players not up to Premier League standard, right, in 2019. But
on paper,
on paper. But it created an incredible force whereby they were punching above their weight and winning the odd game here or there and staying out of the bottom three. It was a fantastic thing. But it's like... Like Blakey, we shouldn't be hanging Morrison. You know, 11 months ago, that bloke ran half the length of the pitch at Hull and scored a fantastic goal. He almost dragged Cardiff over the promotion line. But
player of the season.
But you know, there was a fantastic little partnership being built up between Manga and Bamba at the back, Joe Bennett to the left of them, either Peltier or Bakuna to the right. Cardiff had kept a clean sheet against Bourke.
Peltier was playing well.
Kept a clean sheet against Bournemouth. Mm. Kept a clean sheet for more than 90 minutes at Southampton. Why on earth would you want to rip that up? And I think Sean Morrison has been put in a position, he's getting a lot of flack from the fans now, I think he's been put in a position that it was unfair to put him into because the defence should have just been left alone at the time. My concern... And this is why I say it is a problem, Dom, and I hope it proves not to be, but my concern is that this togetherness, this belief from the fans has started to be sucked out of them as a result of the recent, you know, they've been hammerings, all three of them.
Mm. And the loss of Bamba to that, you know, as one of the key figures,
I'm just concerned that suddenly this hope, euphoria and belief... It's being sucked out of them a little bit by the decision making for the Watford game, and I just hope we don't look back on that game and think this is the moment
this
the
is
season
a turning
turned.
Point.
I really hope that
because it was the first time we mentioned it last week. It was the first time I'd heard any boos or anything this season. It was like I was thinking, obviously you know don't like getting beat 5-1, but. What are they booing there? Are they booing the manager? Are they booing decisions? Are they booing players? Because that hasn't happened all season. You know what I mean? There's just been this togetherness. But that...
It's like a force, Blakey, isn't it?
It's exactly is that right? It is like a force. Because it's what, on top of your ability,
you're which I think on
paper... Right, yeah. On paper, people say, well, you're not good enough. So what's going to carry you? Well, what carries you is that force of that togetherness with the fans,
yeah.
And that those fans, even when you lose, are bouncing and cheering you on, right? Yeah. So you feel like, I can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So that carries, that wave of emotion lifts you up another level, basically. You know what I mean?
There's always going to be dissatisfaction with heavy defeats, though, isn't there? I mean... It's like chicken and egg, though. Which one creates which?
I think there's far more to it, Dom. I think if we're looking at this situation, it's not just... You have to take into account what's gone on. We can't ignore the Emilio Salo situation and what's going on. That plays a part. No matter how we try and stick to it as just footballing. You know, all the boys... They all got brains, they're all humans, they all see, they all hear. So to say, well, you shouldn't be affected, well, we couldn't say, well, you shouldn't be affected by Emilio's passing. Of course it has an effect. And then subsequently, what's going on and being played out in the press, it's you just don't want it as a player. Mm. You just want to be focused on football.
It seemed to initially...
And unfortunately, it's not. It's getting darker and darker, if you like, the situation. Form has all of a sudden dropped off the edge of the cliff. Managers being questioned. Decisions are being questioned. And it's just like a perfect storm has just come. And it's just, like Paul says, sucked the life out of
it. See, why it is different now, Dom, is because you're wrong. With respect, they have been hammered this season. And still those fans have sung to the...
Absolutely.
They've still roared the team.
People have said to me, I can't believe you've lost. And your fans were still bouncing.
But I've just detected the last three games. Like I say, this is, I repeat, it's almost like belief is being sucked out a little bit. And that concerns me. Because without that togetherness,
I struggle.
I take sure both Cardiff of your points. I just want to bring it back to this point I'm going to make now, which is, despite the fact that Cardiff... probably expected to go down, and anything more would have been a big bonus. We knew that all along. That's what's been said from the first minute of the season. With any team teetering towards relegation, there's going to be unhappiness from the fans from a pure football perspective. And when you lose games like the Watford game, which we went into on the back of two big wins, thinking Cardiff can win this, when a performance and a result like that happens against a team who are beatable, because Watford probably are, got some good players, but they are, I think that's going to create unrest from a sheer footballing perspective. Although I do take into account, Blakey, of course, all that off-the-field stuff. But just take that football perspective on its own. I think that was a performance to suck the life out of anyone, really, you know?
Yeah, but like Paul says, the bounce-back ability has been there all season.
And now I mean, it's not,
no matter how much you've been trounced, you still expect Cardiff to go out the next game and play like the first game of the season sort of thing. Do you understand what I mean? So there's been no sort of
no reaction
from the fans that pulls the team down.
Yeah,
it's been carried.
Yeah,
you don't worry, boys. We got you.
There's
don't
been
worry,
that defiance boys. We got you.
An absolute defiance. It's like us against the world sort of thing. And like we've said before, Neil Warnock likes to create that sort of environment for his players. And you know, he had it. And I honestly believe we were on course, if not to stay up, it was going to be coming down to the last game, touch and go, maybe a point, maybe goal difference in it. I thought it was going to be that sort of finish to the end of the season. Where we are right now, and it's three games, but it's not the fact you've lost three games, it's the manner in which you lose. And it's almost unexplainable, you know what I mean? You come up against an Everton team, like we said last week, who are devoid of any sort of confidence.
Yeah.
Right, what do Cardiff do? Normally, take advantage of that, right? Because we can. That's what we do. Yes, we got beat last week by Watford, but it doesn't faze us. We expect to get beat, yeah? But you're now on a downer, so we're going to try and take advantage of that. That never happened.
Dom, I was speaking to fans before the Molineux game, lots of them. And I'm telling you, to a person, man or woman, they were genuinely shocked that Manga had been dropped. Why has he done that? What on earth's going on here? And I was trying to explain, this shouldn't really come as a surprise because Neil will always back his captain. But it did it just that, you know, just the fact that Manga was dropped was almost sucking the life out of them. And then it was followed up with, why is Harry Arter not playing? You know, and
that was a strange one as well.
All these questions are now being asked.
That was a strange one for me.
And whereas instead of the force that was together before, it's
splintered.
I mean, that's Blakey's words. I can't really argue with it, but I come back to the third time of saying, like, belief being sucked away, and somehow that needs to.
Oh, how can it be
regenerated?
How can that be reignited then, Blakey? Is it as simple as one win against West Ham? Because I think that would help the situation a heck of a lot.
I think that helps the footballing situation. Yeah, but honestly, I don't. I'm gonna stick to my guns. I think the fans are not stupid. They all know. We all see. We all hear. This is not just about football. It's as simple as that. It's no point us trying to avoid the situation and pretend that it is.
Because
it's not.
But the situation initially seemed to have a galvanizing effect.
Absolutely. But subsequently, we all see what's coming out. It doesn't look good on us. You know, it's uncomfortable.
It's
really uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you know, football secondary, you know, there is the fact that Emilio is no longer with us. And that, I think, is bigger than anything. And it's having an effect. And it's had an effect. And it will continue to have an effect. Because it's not a case of a straightforward, bang, done, accident, okay, bang, done. There's so much going on. This being said, that being said, this
nobody
agent
could
coming
have predicted out, that,
and it's just you just think, oh my, what is this? So it's unprecedented. Never seen it in football before. You know, it's stomach churning. It is, and I just don't think you can get away from it. I don't. You know, my answer is yes. The team hasn't played well, but there's so many factors that are in play here. It's not just straightforward football.
And you
if they beat West Ham,
well, it changes.
If they beat West Ham, the mood might lighten a bit. But I don't think the fans are enjoying what is going on in the media right now. You know what I mean? No one is. Yeah. No one wants to. We kind of. It's kind of like a Balotelli, why always us kind of thing is probably being said by fans. Why can't it just be straightforward and, you know. Why? That's the feeling I get.
But you see, even that could work to Cardiff's strength because, you know, we've said all along that it's us against the world, Wales against England, all that sort of thing. And so the fans could sort of, you know, rally round and everything in terms of dismissing all of that. But the trouble is that when you have the performances that we've seen for the last three games, and Blakey, they were hammerings. They could have been even heavier defeats, to be honest.
And emotionally, players are going to come down as well, Paul.
And rightly or wrongly, fans are going to look back and think, why on earth was the team changed from the back-to-back wins? You know, the history-making back-to-back wins in the Premier League. First
why,
time.
Why
have you
I
got
can't
to
get
change that defence?
Okay,
Dom, you explain to me why has that defence got to be changed?
I'm with you 100%. Manga and Bamba are a fantastic partnership.
Bennett and Peltier were doing their bit. When Bakuna was filling it right back, he did okay.
You see, I've got issues with
okay,
Bakuna.
But I mean, we're talking about, you know, so
I thought Bakuna was probably at fault for Sigurdsson's both goals against Everton. I said last week that Domi should have attached himself to him and stayed with him.
I can question lots of things. Why hasn't Patterson been starting games recently when he's been one of Warnock's big lieutenants on the field, massive character, massive trier on the field? What's wrong with Camarasa? His body language doesn't seem good to me.
Well, I mean, that's an easy answer. You heard what Neil said publicly. Whether Neil can come and phone me and have a go if he likes to say whatever, I'm an inch bothered. But publicly, when you start questioning him like that, and
he's Carlos' best player,
right? So, what I'm saying is, there's certain things that And I know Neil's probably a bit angry or whatever, but if the boy's injured, the boy's injured. You signed him, you know the situation and everything. He alluded to Saul Bamba, right, and saying if you've seen his scans and all that. Yeah, and now I would say, well, when you carry an injury left, right and centre, like Saul, I think, was, you overcompensate in different places. Then you go and do your ACL.
Yes.
Right?
That's what happens. That's unfortunate.
It's absolutely unfortunate. But what happens is, because you're overcompensating your body here and there, you're not running normally and things like that, because it was innocuous, wasn't it? Mm. It was so like, huh? And as soon as he went down, I thought, he's done his knee there, because he couldn't straighten it. Right? And he was actually, his hands were in the air, sort of, that's pain. I thought, he's done his knee there. Let's hope it's not a twist or something like that. But yeah, my worst fears were confirmed. But
there's so many of those little decisions and little questions hanging over people now, and that's what happens when three defeats, off the field problems, all conspire together, isn't it?
Maybe the signings in January as well, and feeling like when I signed them, I have to play them, and upsetting. You know, you've just mentioned Patterson, one of the best players this season. All of a sudden, like, are we resting him or is he just out in the cold? You know,
no sign of Hoylett or Mendes Lang on the bench at Wolves.
No sign at all.
Murphy,
no sign to come on and try and make a change.
Yeah.
Probably your three wingers who you're going to look to make a change and an impact all season. Last season, the same.
Well, I had a basic problem with the team at Wolves being sort of one-sided.
Well, what you brought on as well wasn't going to get you sort of impact the game as strong as a Mendes Lang would, or a Junior Hoylett would, or a Murphy would. Those three, all pace. You know, one thing we can't afford to do is leave pace at home.
It's the one thing Cardiff have had under Warnock for these last 2.5 years, isn't it?
Right, so, you know, it's... Listen, I think at the end of the day, only the manager can answer. And maybe there's things in the background that we're not aware of.
Big questions to answer, and who knows what a win against West Ham could do. It could be season-changing, season-defining. Let's ask some more questions and have some more Bluebirds discussion after this short break, then.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So I want to start this second section with a question for Blakey from Paul Grono on Twitter.
All right, Paul.
He says, and I wrote a piece about this after the game on Saturday. Oh, okay. He says, are people right to question whether Warnock should go now to give someone a chance to come in and potentially save the club from relegation? Or should he be given until the end of the season at this late stage? There were question marks, Nathan. People, rightly or wrongly, in my opinion wrongly, on social media saying, could a change work now? Has Warnock ran his course? Does he deserve the chance to continue as long as he wants? These are questions that are being asked, Nathan. What's your view?
I think you have to look at the performance, and I would say off the back of back-to-back wins, feeling was great. No one was even... They were like, Neil was the best manager since sliced bread. Fast forward 3 games, and you know, that's how fickle football is. People are now really questioning one real major decision, really. Morrison
for Manga.
Right? And they're saying, like, they think that might be the reason why you have to replace the manager. I couldn't go with that. I couldn't support that. I couldn't say, oh yeah, I agree. I think, you know, 3 games, 3 bad defeats, you've got to give the manager, right, if the trend continues, another 3 games, right, the chances are you're not going to stay up anyway, right? So you've got 3 games, really, 4 games max. And now what you're thinking is, okay, if we change the manager, can you see Cardiff winning 3 or 4 games back-to-back? Well, they've only managed to win 2 games back-to-back in the Premier League. This is the first time. So I doubt that a change is going to make much of a difference, because where the players are at the moment, there seems to be a disconnect between players, manager, the whole shebang. Obviously he's gone on record and said a few players let me down, then made changes, so it kind of singles people out, and you know, there must be some sort of upset in the dressing room because the performances are reflecting not a happy camp. Would I change the manager now? No, I would say, right, you know, go and fix it. You know, get back to where you were, if you can. But if you can't, then, you know, I think a change isn't going to make much of a difference unless you're looking to next season. And then if you're looking to next season, then there's more to think about, far more.
Absolutely. Paul, what did you make of those calls on social media?
I think the bigger concern was Danny Gabbadon, who, you know, like Blake, was a big fan's favourite at Cardiff, saying that this was deeper than personnel selection and so on. This was the team spirit wasn't right for him. That alarmed me a little bit because without team spirit, that Cardiff team, you know, lose a hell of a lot. I can't put a percentage on it, but it's a high percentage. I felt at Wolves and against Everton, Cardiff had run out of ideas attacking-wise. But, you know, it's up to Neil Warnock to re-foster the spirit amongst the players and the fans and recreate that force we spoke about earlier, Blakey, that Cardiff desperately needs to get them over the line in these last nine matches.
It's not impossible, but it's nigh on impossible now. Do you know why? Because, like I've said, no, I'm telling you the truth. This is what the podcast is. It's about, you know, giving our opinions. My opinion now is when you lose your captain on the pitch, as in Sol Bamba, you've got no one to carry your message. And that's where I think you'll see the biggest drop off now is that leadership quality. Yes, Sol has been at fault for goals this season, as have most of the players at some point, right? That's why it's a collective. But I've always said, and I've always maintained, it doesn't matter who's got the armband, he is the leader and captain on the pitch, right? And the way he went out on his shield, yes, Neil's confirmed, battered and bruised a couple of weeks before, it's gone out, and that has eventually led to a major injury for me, right? So he's gone out on his shield, on the pitch, as a soldier, as a warrior does, but I think that is our biggest, that is the biggest problem we're facing now, is who do you see on a Saturday lead like Sol?
I think it has to switch to Aaron Gunnarsson, personally. I think we could probably see more leadership from Gunnarsson. He's the next biggest character for me, and someone who can, like you say, Blakey, be that warrior, make those tackles that he's not been making in the last couple of games. He's not had that bite that the best Gunnarsson has, so I'd look towards him. But also, Neil Warnock himself triumphs in adversity. And his Cardiff City team have tended to triumph when their backs have been against the wall. Cliches, but they've got some sort of root of truth in them as well.
The difference is, this is the Premier League, Dom, and the
quality is that much higher.
The quality is so much higher.
Yeah.
You know, you're coming up against West Ham, who have spent, what, 150 million?
Some good
something
players,
like that, and got some great players. So, you know, they're not going to come here and think, you know, West Ham and their fans are a team who will come here thinking, well, we should be Cardiff. This is non-contest. I mean, they're relegation fodder, we should beat them. That's, we don't go into any game thinking that way. We can't afford to. Everything is a cup final sort of thing.
To go back to your question about the fans calling for his head, I mean, I think Neil Warnock deserves more latitude than any other manager in the Premier, in, well, not just the Premier League, but the entire 92 clubs in the Premier and the Football League. Simply because, as we've said before, he hasn't just taken Cardiff up into the Premier League, which was a heck of an achievement in itself, and kept him out of the bottom three for most of the season. He has brought the club back together, and I think he deserves an enormous amount of latitude because of that. However, that said, we are where we are. Blakey says no sentiment, all that sort of thing. I get that in football. In terms of those calling for his head, well, what I'd ask is, who else is there? Who credibly?
I don't even think it's because of that, Paul. I don't even think it's because of it. I think it's because Warnock is the best man for the job.
So what I'm saying is, who credibly could come in and do a better job than that? I've had names thrown at me like Mark Hughes and David Moyes. They're not better than Warnock for me at this stage of the season. I've had Sam Allardyce thrown at me, but come on, we've got to be real here.
I was hoping we'd get through the podcast without saying Sam Allardyce's name, actually.
So, you know, it's up to, you know, Neil Warnock needs to be backed, and he needs to refoster this spirit that made Cardiff punch above their weight earlier in the season.
I think that's the question, Paul, is can he? I think that is the biggest question. That's the, you know, $100 million question.
If we see,
can he do it under all these different circumstances that are playing at the moment, both on and off the pitch? Can he do it? And I think you'll get your answer by performance.
I think we'll get answer in the first 10 minutes of the West Ham game.
I don't mind West Ham beating us 2-0, 3-0, if the performance is hot, if the performance is driven, you know, determination, fight, the usual, what we've expected or come accustomed to. If the performance is there, then you see, right, that's where the fans go, yeah, on to the next one, don't worry, we'll go again. That's been the sort of attitude of the fans.
Yeah.
And it seems to be fractured. That's what I think is clearly evident on the pitch. That's what Gabs was on about, right? There seems to be a fracture between manager and his players all of a sudden.
It's sudden. Why? It's sudden. Well, we won't go. But anyway.
Then you've got other factors coming into play.
It's about re-fostering that spirit, as we say. And fingers crossed, we will see that against West Ham. And a win changes the mindset again.
Mm.
But
okay, how then? How does it happen from a football perspective? How can they turn this around? What needs to happen? Who needs to step up? Where will Cardiff's improvement come from on the field?
Well, I think the first thing he needs to do is have a midfield trio of Arta, Camarasa and Gunnarsson. I think those three with Manga behind them have to be the linchpin around where any improvement is built now,
yep.
Both offensively and defensively. I come back to watching those three in tandem at Leicester when Cardiff won and how they hunted together. And I don't see that often. They worked as a tight midfield unit then. I think he's got to revert to that.
And he's got to revert to pace out wide, pacey wingers, whether it be Murphy and Mendes Lang.
I'm not against Zahor and Nias playing. Dom,
Nias was terrible against Wolves.
He was, but I'm not against them both playing. I mean, you know, he's quick, Nias.
I think it has to be one of them personally.
You've got to have more up front. You know, Ken's done all right since he's come back, but all right isn't going to...
Well, they haven't got anything else, have they?
This is me. I would go back to Patterson. Right. Me.
Would you?
And I'm saying... Whoa, I've said all season that he's not a striker. He's not a striker. Right?
Yeah.
I think Nias has done okay. Yeah, he was poor against Wolves. But I think he gives Cardiff the ability to stretch again, which they didn't get under Patterson.
Yeah.
Me, I would play Patterson and Nias. I don't think Kenneth has earned the position to be able to say, okay, yeah, I'm back in as number one striker. No way. You know, at least you know with Pogo, he's going to put himself about, he's going to batter people, he's uncomfortable to play against, do you know what I mean? And he always, he's kind of in the right place at the right time. Is he a striker? I'll tell you now, no, he's not. But for the last nine games, I just go and batter people and let Nias run off you. That's what I would say. Nias, drop deep, or Reed, drop deep, one of you, and go back to two wide, one down the middle, and either Nias or Reed in that 10 position, supporting Patterson. That's what I would do.
I feel sorry for Bobby Reed, you know.
He's not been able to get on a run, Dom, all season.
No,
and really I don't think he's played badly.
No.
I haven't seen him play a poor game.
I think he's a really good player.
I think he's an incredibly talented
player. In the right team, I think he'd be an absolute star, even in the Premier League. Mm. But I just think that...
You could see him playing for a Leicester or a Watford, couldn't you?
And being
a bit of a damager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not working.
But that comes back down to you've got quality players you've brought in. You need to have more ball retention.
These are things that
we've said all season. You need to have more ball retention. With Ken coming back in the team, what's happened is, like I said, against Everton and Watford, you've gone back to we're going to go bang almost one pass and then long pass. You've gone away from even trying to play a bit. Do you know what I mean? You've gone, reverted back to boom, long ball forward, and Ken's not in that form. It's as simple as that. Ken is not in that form, so you've not got the same guy that you think you got. So it's I would go back to Patterson. I would, and that's me saying, you know, I know he's not a striker, but what he can do, he can cause major problems for you.
What do you do with Camarasa then? That seems to be a riddle. Camarasa,
I play in the 10 position at home. I play Reed on the ass away from home.
I can see the argument there.
Yeah, because I don't think a back three, we don't do enough work on a training ground. We just went to a back three and, listen, you need to work on it. And clearly they haven't worked on it. It was, oh, they might have done 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, but they haven't worked on it as a system of, this is our fullback default position and we play and we know it off by heart.
Your fullbacks have got to do more attacking wise when you've got a back three.
And well, your fullbacks are not fullbacks, they're wingbacks.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be better playing Mendes Lang on the right hand side, because he can defensively do a great job. He's got level lungs, he's powerful as, and he scares living dead out of people with his pace and his power down that right hand side. Simple as that.
Well, simple. Who would you play? Come on, what's your answer? That's a very, very conclusive answer from Blakey there.
Mm.
Don't just say Ken Zahor.
I think that there's scope in a Zahor-Nias partnership. I think they're both quick, they can run in behind, so I think there's scope there. The problem is, how do you then provide the width that goes with them?
Carter's problem is...
Okay, let me ask this question. What's more potent? What's more powerful? Right? A midfield three of Rolls, Camarasa, Gunnarsson, take your pick out of the midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But what's more powerful? Murphy and Højlund on the wide, or Højlund and Mendes Lang, or Mendes Lang and Murphy on the wide with Patterson down the middle with a Reed behind, or Nias and Kenneth? Which is the more potent? Nias and Kenneth, or Patterson with the two men wide?
Patterson in there.
I just think it's a no-brainer. I'd even go, well, the two wide men with Nias, and then have Reed in behind him. I don't think, and it's not having a go at Kenneth by any means, a stretch of the imagination. You know, I thought, like I said, when he scored his goal and he mouthed the words, "I'm back," that was a very prominent statement to make. But you
said he better had to be back.
He hasn't been since. And he's not played badly. Do you know what I mean? It's a collective they've been beaten in. So he's not, but I don't think he's potent enough to be saying he's not given enough problems then.
And look what Jimenez and Jota did. I think Cardiff are lacking that by a long stretch.
Round the box, I've always said Cardiff should be working on patterns of play, little 1-2s, give and goes and all that. But they don't. They leave Murphy on one side, Højlund on the other, or Mendes. And it's beat your man, try and get a cross in. Or beat your man, go for goal. There hasn't been that intricacy in our play since Neil joined the club.
Interesting stuff. I can't argue with any of that, Nathan, to be honest with you. Right, let's have another short break and then we'll look ahead to the West Ham game.
You're listening to Blakey's Boot Room from Wales Online.
So, Nathan, do you want to do your footy 5 predictions now? Get them out of the way.
Yeah, man. How did I do last week?
You got the Cardiff result, right?
Yeah, that gives me no pleasure, Dom.
But you didn't win the $25,000.
No.
Safe to say. I think mine actually went in the paper and I got none of them right. And none of them anywhere close either. So, that's... It switches back to you. Come on, Nathan. Yeah. So, Huddersfield-Bournemouth is your first one.
Huddersfield-Bournemouth. 1-0 victory away from home.
Leicester Fulham.
Leicester 3-0 victory.
Interesting.
I noticed just on that, a lot of people talking. Scott Parker, great lad, played against Scott, you know him well, but against Chelsea, not to have a man on Jorginho, that's just a lack of vision or a lack of insight or foresight. It was so obvious. It's been done for you all season, so it's not like you need to, do anything clever. Just stand the man to let him have that kind of space and.
Well, there's another message of advice for Warnock a couple of weeks' time.
It's like, man.
Okay, so 3-0 there for Leicester. Newcastle at home to Everton.
Oh, that'd be a good game. I'm going to go Newcastle 2-1.
Interesting. Southampton Spurs.
I'm going to go 2-2.
So that's a big point for Southampton there against Cardiff. So the final game is Cardiff against West Ham, and we'll all have our say on this one, no doubt, with the optimism that is filling up the room at the moment.
I'm going to go
2-1. You tell me. They definitely say two different things, that's for sure at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 defeat.
2-0 defeat for Cardiff.
Mm.
Paul, can you be...
But if Neil and the team, there isn't, like, no separation and they are together and everything's rosy and it's just down to us over-analysing the last three defeats and they put in a performance, even if they lose... I'll be on you next week saying, okay, there's still a lot of hope. But
that's good to hear. Yeah,
at
that's...
this moment in time, the manner of the defeats and the manner of the performances, I'm like more worried that we get another point between now and the end of the season after those three games. That's where I'm at, Dom. That's what that kicking has done
feeling
to me.
Down, Nathan.
You know, and it's only what the eyes, Chico, they never lie.
Let's just hold on though, because a win would change things completely. So you may be on next week.
Next year we'll be having a party in here.
You may be on next week eating humble pie. I hope you are.
I hope the body is massive.
Paul, what are you saying?
If I'm honest and going in my head, I've got to go for a 2-0 as well.
Wow.
My heart is very much saying 1-0 Cardiff. I hope that.
Come on, Bluebirds! Pull it out. You
I
can
don't
do
like
this.
What I've seen in the last three games, I've got to say.
No.
It's not been a one-off bad performance. I can't. So even at the start of the season when we didn't pick no points up in five games, we were saying, listen, you've got to learn quicker, boys.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden...
They did.
It did. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I was saying like the 17 games, the second half of the season... You know, if we didn't pick up no points in the first five when we got to where we are, which was 25 points, 24,
that's where we are now, 22
points, then, you know, we should be in a... Oh, no, it wasn't 22, was it? It was 19 points. If we do the same, it'd be touch and go. But if we have a better back half of the season, which was, at that point, I thought was highly likely, then, you know, we get to the 38 point mark quite comfortably.
Well, just think about how I felt after the 1-0 win at Leicester. Late goal, fantastic away performance. I thought, if they play like that, there's no problems at all here. And the same after the Bournemouth and the Southampton games. We thought that, didn't we, Paul?
But
St. Mary's.
But I bet you, even in defeat, Dom, it's not the defeat, it's the manner what's going on. You, like Paul says, you're witnessing all this. This everything seems to have gone from being so together. It's not broken, but it's stretching at the seams. You're thinking, God, you know, this be some job if Neil can pull this back together. Really, it'll be some job if he pulls it back. If he pulls it back together and they stay up, he manager of the year for me. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, I want to finish the podcast on something a little bit more positive, and it's a question I put out on our Cardiff City online Facebook page today. Who is the one player who can make the difference and keep Cardiff up?
What's your prediction?
Good we'll come to that. Now. I'll do that just before we finish.
No, I'm doing it in predictions. That's not fair.
1-1.
Oh, so you sit on the fence.
Stop the rot. Sit on the fence. Okay. Yeah, all of that. So, who is the one player who can make the difference? Who could keep Cardiff up between now and the end of the season? Talking on the field.
What for Cardiff?
Yeah, if you think of one player who can step up and make the difference now, who has that ability in them?
Zahor.
Wow.
Zahor.
You didn't expect that, did
Incredible
you?
Incredible from both of you.
You didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't expect Nathan to say it.
No, I know. I know what he's got in the locker.
So if he steps up and produces, he'll score goals.
Mm.
And he's the one who holds
the ball. You know
whether he can is another matter entirely.
Yeah, you know the goal, when he scored it, that's where it was. It wasn't the goal, it was the fact that he mouthed, I'm back.
It was pulsing through his veins, wasn't it?
Do you know what, mate? That made me feel like brought back that lion in you. I thought, wow, do you know what? He's going to mash people up next game. He's going to run through people. He's going to be back. he's back.
And he did, to be fair.
And he's played okay.
Yeah.
But not the not the lion I'm looking for. Yeah. He, you know, I'm expecting people, win, lose or draw, to come off the back to go in.
He's going over to Easy in the challenge. He's looking for free kicks and not getting them, Blakey.
Yeah, mad aggressive.
And that means the ball's coming back at Cardiff's defence, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Zahor, Camarasa, definitely. Mm. If he get him right, get him fit and firing, get the argument with Warnock out of the window, he can still be the man for me. Mm.
Okay.
Thank you very much for both of you then for your contributions today. We'll make Blakey's Boot Room, of course, next week after the West Ham game. You can listen, of course, on Acast, Spotify, Wales Online, or subscribe on iTunes. From the three of us for this week, it's goodbye and thanks for listening.